Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat on March the 26th, 2019. This week we are talking about Beyond Good and Evil, which is our March month chat. So it was a slightly longer game that we didn't break up. We just are playing it in the month. Anyways, we'll start out with introductions so everyone knows who's listening to this, who they're listening to. And our intro question for the week is that in Beyond Good and Evil, there are several animals or species that you can capture with your camera to send to the government so they can send you pearls. So say your name along with your favorite species or animal in the game that you could photograph. Or not photograph, I guess. I'll leave it up to you, to your discretion, starting at the top.
All right, this is Franco, and I just happened on it by mistake, I think. But there is a creature out by a remote island in the south that is a whale, a humpback whale.
Yes!
And that was really neat getting a picture of that.
So that's a big-ass space whale?
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to take a picture of that one though.
You had to go and unfreeze it from the block of ice.
Oh, that too. Oh. Yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
Okay.
No, there was a whale out in the ocean. There was a.
Yes.
You have to once you get the thing the thing on the ship to hop.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really work all that well against those fences.
It's so pretty. The whale was so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I just happened on it. I said, let me just, because I was hunting down the smuggler caves for pearls. So,
Yeah. I was entranced by that one as well. All right, next.
This is Kevin, and there were like some that were some animals that were really cute and stuff, the armadillos, but there was one that was you couldn't really get a good look at it. And I ended up only finding it because I had a guide up for the slaughterhouse area.
Mm-hmm.
But this little flame guy that you could access from running along the gate.
Interesting. You said it was a sling? Like a sling?
It was a little flame person.
Oh, okay.
It was like a little tiny, like, it almost was kind of like a lizard or whatever, but it looked like a little flame, red flame.
Aw, okay. Very cool. Next.
This is Chris, and I think it's quite obvious.
Oh. Yeah.
That would be Wolf.
Yes.
The canine.
Yeah. Just the big shaggy dog.
The tongue hanging out and everything.
So cute. I actually didn't interact with him until
shame on you.
Later on. No, it was like it was later on. And it was when I went back before the lighthouse was destroyed. I was going back there. I think it was when I was like putting in the coordinates for the to get access to the ship. And I was like, oh, let me actually talk to this dog. And it was adorable.
And I think about it, I forgot to take a picture of the dog. That's probably worth.
I think it was like 600 or it was a bit.
Yeah, there were some that was like 3,000 and other ones that were like, oh, here's like 300. It's like, Do you know how hard it was to get this picture?
Yeah.
Do you realize how?
You have any idea?
This is Steph, and gosh, you know, I think I'm going to have to go with Frank on this one. The whale was just, I mean, it wasn't the most, it's a tie, but well, gosh, like I also like the dog, but the whale, but then also there were these little, like, I don't even know what exactly they were called. I don't remember, but it was like this little like green thing that had these fuzzy green legs, and it was almost like a green spider, but it was like furry, like with grass on it or something.
They were kind of like crab spider thing.
It was just so cute. It was so cute. yeah, I liked that one. It seemed like there was something else too, but there were all kinds of cute little things. But yeah, so again, welcome guys. We're a little, quick little summary of Beyond Good and Evil. For centuries, the planet of Helas has been bombarded by a relentless alien race, skeptical of their government, skeptical of their government's inability to repel the invaders. A rebellious action reporter named Jade sets out to capture the truth, armed with her camera, digital stuff, and fierce determination. She discovers shocking evidence leading to a horrific government conspiracy and is forced to battle an evil she cannot possibly fathom. Yeah, so this game was developed back in, I think, starting like 2000. It was released in 2003. Multi-platform by Ubisoft. By a pretty small team of like 30 people. Which might have been more commonplace at the time. I don't know. But yeah, so... And around the same time, Ubisoft, just to kind of give you a general kind of idea of what else was being released around this time, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time was also released in 2003 by Ubisoft. So yeah, so getting into it. So who did any of you guys play the game when it was released back in 2003 or when it was released in HD in 2011?
I played it when it was released on... originally on the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that'd be 2003.
Yes.
I wish we could have had the HD version.
And I played it using the official Prima guide.
Oh.
Oh, look at you. Wow. Look at you.
Yeah, I know.
Back in the day when books were a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Back when Prima was still a thing.
Yeah, when there was still a company.
Oh, wow. Oh man. Don't make me cry, guys.
I hear you.
I remember hearing about this game, but it completely blew past my radar. I'm guessing like at the time, 2003, like it seems like a long time ago, but for those listening, I was in college at the time. So yeah, so I didn't play that. Like, I think my game playing experience in college was like The Sims and racing games. yeah, I don't know. So, yeah. So that was it. So did, Frank, did you play this at all before?
No, this was brand new to me.
Brand new. For me too.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing it in, like how they would used to always put those ads on the back of like game instruction booklets.
Yeah.
I think I ended up seeing it on that.
Mm-hmm.
And just a fun little fact, it is one of it's an uncommon game and it is one of the rarer games on the GameCube because it had a very limited release because it didn't sell well.
I'll
get into that later, but I mean, that was kind of one of the more disappointing things of this game was that how it was so critically acclaimed
and
everyone raved about it, but just no one bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that from what I've read, the little I read, a lot of like people in the industry blames it on advertising, that they just didn't. Ubisoft was so concentrated on the Prince of Persia series that released the same year and around the same time, I think, that they didn't even advertise it hardly at all.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. It's a shame. So mechanics, guys, gameplay stuff. We'll cover that first. So what did you like? What did you not like?
I hated the save spots. Hated.
You only hated the save spots?
Yeah, only five
spots. Hated how I extremely dislike always having to go to specific save spots. They usually end up putting them in really weird places, And also the fact that you had to go and select the save disk and then select another thing. So you had to go through like two whole extra menus to like just save the game.
Welcome to 2003, my friend. Welcome to 2003.
That was life.
And I'm guessing, you know, maybe that's a leftover from maybe PS2 days where it's you had a little memory card chip that you didn't hold, you know, hold a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
feel you, Kevin, but then I also kind of liked it. Like I kind of liked the motion of like putting the disc in there and the sounds. And it seemed to me like, I mean, yes, it's an extra step, but to me also like you can look at it as it seems more special than just being like, I'm just going to go and save it, F5, or save from the main menu, and oh, it's saved.
I feel like they would have moved on from CDs by the year 2400-something.
The other thing, too, is when you see the save point, then you know it's about to get real.
I mean, and in 2003, you didn't think that CDs were ever going away. CDs were there.
Well, it was also the brand new technology, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just remembering CDs. I just did a CD dance. No one saw it except me. Yeah. So anyone else?
I don't even know what a CD dance is.
Oh, it's special.
I also found the way that you did the shooting of the disc, like the disc glove thing. Mm-hmm. I found it a little bit annoying because I kept taking photos when I wanted to shoot the pink disc.
Oh yeah,
hit the wrong button. Yeah,
yeah. It was interesting that it was the same. That it was the same kind of like,
yeah,
area.
I also was confused as to like. Because it's like, oh, you can take personal photos, and then it would yell at me like, oh, your photo album's full. It's like, how do I delete photos?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to, I don't really know. I mean, because, like, I didn't even realize, like, how to get into my inventory, other than, like, what I could scroll through on the, like, on the main, like, as you're playing the game.
You hit escape.
Well, no. Well, that takes you to your menu, or at least like I'm playing on computer with a keyboard and mouse. So I hit escape. That takes me to my menu, but yeah. I didn't realize that the satchel in there had like my stuff in it. Had like PJ shoes. Like after you find them,
Page.
And then I So I didn't even realize that until later on.
Did you know you could give things to other people?
I knew that I could give like the, well, yeah, because energy. it prompted you that when you talked to them or when you were standing next to them.
Yeah, but from the menu, you could give them you could give them the PA1 modules to up their health.
Bar. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, that would have changed a lot. Instead of Jade having like 20 hearts, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Why would I want to give them the PA1 modules? They don't die as much.
Yeah,
you just go and give them a Star Ghost and then they're good.
Yeah.
Paige. I actually stole the 5 Star Ghosts that I had given to Paige earlier before the last battle.
Oh, yeah, so did I. Well, you know, the next replay of the last battle, you know, like the third replay of the last battle, it's like, all right, I'm stripping.
I'm stealing all of your food.
Right.
You're not going to fight with me anyway, so.
Right.
How did you guys like the photography mechanic?
Nice. It was cute.
I liked it, but I also hated the fact that the photos you took completely looked different whenever they went and put them in the stuff. They essentially went from being like a much higher rectangle to being a much more cropped rectangle.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
So all the photos, I'm like, wow, that is horribly aligned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like cut off the bottom like photo.
Yeah, I was pretty bad about it. I was just like, okay, it's in the picture. Send. I'm not going to try and get this correct.
The one thing I loved the most was when so. I couldn't play it the second time around for the chat. So I had to watch a YouTube video of a playthrough. And I think it was when they were just starting out, when they were on the island with the lighthouse. The person that was doing the walkthrough had taken a picture of, I guess, an otter on top of the lighthouse. And it was just like the very top of the otter, and the person doing the voiceover was commenting, it's like, oh, a two-legged otter. It's like, how did you know that?
I forgot like, about that stupid otter.
I looked for that otter and I couldn't find him.
I saw the otter, but
it was on the roof of the lighthouse, but I'm like, how could you see it was a two-legged otter just from like the top of its head?
Yeah.
I'm also pretty sure that the woman that did the photography was the same voice actor that did the one lady that you meet up in the Iris Network and the governor.
Oh yeah, she did a few voices in the game.
Which was really confusing because you're getting three different emails from three different people, but they all sound the same.
She just like changed her tone.
Yeah.
Like one of them was like serious, one of them was like very kind of like subdued of sorts. But yeah. Any other mechanics you guys want to talk about?
The charge up attack took way too long to do.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I just never used it. It took too long.
Oh yeah, I just remembered about it. I never used it.
It was just hack, 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 smash, smash, smash.
Now this, now pressing or like doing the special with the with the soldier or page, I did, but I didn't ever do my charge attack.
Yeah,
did
everyone's.
I did, as I said in chat, the camera drove me crazy. I mean, it drove me crazy, but at the same time, I'm like, this reminds me of like most other games I played around that time or a little bit earlier, like the whole PS2 era. I feel like that I played a few games that tried to use that flying camera that you could control, but sometimes wouldn't move or the camera would like get stuck and like spaz out. And it was rough. It was rough sometimes. Yeah. And then other times I was like, this is great. But then, yeah.
Some of it had to do with collision. Like when you were in the slaughterhouse and you were going under the lasers.
Yeah.
Your camera would duck down because the laser ran right into whatever your camera controller, actor, thing, person was.
Mm-hmm.
So so your camera would be like, "Wee, I'm going to duck down." It's like, stop doing that.
Yeah. Did you guys like the hovercraft controls did anyone win all the races?
I tried to win race 4. I really did, but I gave up because it was complete BS.
I would
run into like one pillar and I'd end up throwing off my whole entire time.
Yeah.
I felt like the guy was cheating the whole time he was doing the races. Because he was like shooting all of the ship, all of the hover cars or whatever they were, taking shortcuts and everything.
Yeah, that's the only way to actually win.
The guy, yeah. No, ho, ho. No,
I won. I didn't shoot anybody.
No. I won all of them.
You had to be using a controller because I could not imagine.
Nope.
Using a keyboard? Oh my.
Well, keyboard maybe. And mouse all the way, baby.
You know why?
Yeah, the only way you could use controller on computer was either by probably using some sort of external program or by buying the game on Uplay.
Yeah, I use what's called RewASD.
Yeah.
R-E-W-A-S-D. And yeah, I should take a picture of my Almost every button configured on the controller.
That's nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
Just thought it was complicated. I have a cheat sheet to hold up. Yeah. Because it was like, oh God, what's escape? What's spacebar? Oh, what's Q? Yeah. I forget what Q is.
So Kevin, did you use a controller or did you use the?
No, I used the keyboard.
Keyboard and mouse. Wow. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. It made things interesting for sure.
Yeah, I think the having to hold down the space was the most difficult part because you're driving around, but then you're also having to hold down space.
Yeah.
And you're also having to shoot people.
Oh, yeah. 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 Now, see, I didn't shoot anyone in the races. I didn't even try to.
It helps.
It's for use to like racing sims where you're like drifting. You know, it's like you know where to point the thing.
Yes.
On the inside of the turn, mm-hmm. not the outside of the turn.
Yeah, yeah. It gave me some real low key.
Yeah, racing sim type.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I had a thought in my head, and yeah, but no, I enjoyed the racing. It took a bit to get used to, as well as the phase shift controls, but.
Yeah, that, you know, you didn't use it too much, so it wasn't. The boat controls were really, I mean, out in the free world were kind of, not so much the controls, but it was really tough getting a sense of where you should be going.
Yes.
The compass was like, all right, just that general direction, but it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was kind of tough to figure out
It was a destination compass, not a, hey, this is north.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you have to like keep hitting tab or whatever to check
the map. Which way is my ship facing? That's what I was like. Which way am I facing? Yeah.
Like I didn't usually have the one part I had trouble with navigating the ship later on was during the towards the end when you're outside the tower and it's right before the big fight, the last fight, and. You're having to, you know, take the hovercraft in the waters and direct the mines to get inside the tower.
I just went and rocket launched all of the mines in front of the thing and then got out of the spaceship.
That's easier. That's easier. Yeah. Yeah. I was guiding the mines to them. And it was hard because the camera angle was fixed on like a side view of your boat or like mm-hmm. in one, it was only fixed on one plane. So I couldn't see like in front of me. All I could do was like, okay, I felt like I was controlling like a toy boat or something in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
So move on past that. Did you guys have any favorite places that you liked visiting? Or areas of the game, I guess. Not favorite, but you know. Or any areas that you thought were specifically frustrating?
I got annoyed at the propaganda music eventually. Propaganda! Propaganda! You're frustrated. I got really, really annoyed at the slaughterhouse because it was a very heavily forced stealth section,
mm-hmm.
and it was forced in a really annoying way, where they would end up repeating areas, or just you'd have to go through like a crazy amount of stuff stealth to get over to a thing, and you'd be like. Too freaked out to like go and just walk past people because you're like, oh no, they're gonna see me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you would just mind your own business and walk into a new area, and then a guy would see you like before you even like get through the door. So then they're like, oh, alert, alert.
Yeah, yeah.
Send out the robot.
Yeah.
That section
just felt like they went and put in a lot of more difficult stuff to pad time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted the game to be longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the slaughterhouse was tough because it's like there was one entrance that gets you into two areas and the other entrance that got you into one, the first area. And I ended up by mistake doing it backwards. I did the one where you actually like skip the boat up a ramp to get in. And I did those two areas and I couldn't get to the third area. And I'm like, how the hell do I get to the third area? And it's back where you started. You have to go, you know, hop up on a ledge and, you know.
Yeah.
I was extremely confused on how to get into that area, but I'm kind of glad I let that one be the last one because then I could just go straight to the boat and then exit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like when I got to the slaughterhouse part, that's definitely the time back in early 2000s that I would be like, maybe I should look for a guide for this game.
and after, especially with the slaughterhouse, after I just didn't care if I was detected. It was like, Okay, I'm just going to go back to half health. Who cares? You know, and yeah, and it did a fairly decent, at least with that, at least with checkpointing that, you know, you only go back about, you know, 20 yards in your adventure. And it's like, okay, well, okay, kill me. I'm not even taking any K-cups. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, that happened to me a few times too, especially like if guards would notice you and there was like three of them or it's two like, of them and you're just I'm like, dead. Okay, that's fine. Just go ahead and kill me. If you didn't have the soldier with you, it was hard to even defeat them.
He had such an easy time. He's just like, yeah, I'm just going to go and walk through these lasers.
He's great.
I had this a special armor suit.
He's great. Like,
Cooper's like and Peters.
I think it was
the ramp bone one. Mm-hmm. You go through that whole entire crazy thing to get there, and you go and deactivate the laser thing, and you realize he just literally walked down the ramp through the laser field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, I went through all of that.
Jumpy, 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 skippy, skippy, and he just walks through it.
Yeah.
It's like, why couldn't you just like throw me over the laser thing or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that the slaughterhouse could have been a bit shorter.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Because I mean, like, it didn't, you know, that's one thing that I mentioned here in the questions. It didn't really serve the story to have it that long. It was just stuff to do. Because really the only story development was that, like, you saw you saw what was happening, what they were doing, and you took pictures of it. I keep saying PJ because that's how I pronounced it when I was playing the game. I know what it's like. I know what it's like, but I
darn French.
Me and Paige are on such good terms that I call him PJ. It's fine.
And so there
wasn't a lot happening on that level in the first place. So yeah, I think I had fun playing it, but like at the same time, I definitely felt kind of like, okay, when are we moving on to the next area or to the next part of the story?
Yeah, there were some fun parts in there, but they were stuff between all of the, oh God, stop making or giving me these BS things. I'm trying to remember if it was in that level where it was either in that one or it was in the space station where you ended up having to go and knock like those robot guys into electrical fields, and they gave you like three. But if you ended up messing up, they actually gave you a button to go in, like,
That was in the slaughterhouse. That was in the area in the slaughterhouse.
I didn't realize that at first, so I had completely went and redone that thing because I completely missed the button.
Well, I cleared the area, and I said,
save point.
Yeah. I cleared the area, and I'm like, what does this button do? So I pressed it.
Nice.
And it just spawned. Nice. It's like, what the hell?
Nice. Yeah, yeah. So let me see. Oh, so the original, you know, I was looking up stuff before this chat. And the original scope of the game was a lot broader. That's what the main director and the main creatives had in mind for it. They wanted it to be more open world with more player freedom. I mean, not open world in how we know open world today, but just a lot more open with a lot more places to go to and a lot more places to visit.
So more Spyro the Dragon.
As well as the first in a trilogy was their plan, which you can kind of see that from the ending of the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they showed the game at E3 in 2002 and people reviewed it poorly. Because of like their style for Jade, their character style for Jade, and they just felt things didn't work. And so the creators went and streamlined the game to make it more commercially appealing. So, they didn't make it as broad and as wide and going to as many places as they wanted it, as they wanted to make it. But you can kind of see that. I don't know how many from the original are working on the prequel. But if you've seen anything about the prequel or heard anything about the prequel,
it's supposed to be an open world.
Yes. Yeah. And so once I read that and I watched the trailer again for, you know, for the next, you know, for, well, Beyond Good and Evil 2, but it's a prequel. I was like, oh, this completely makes sense. So do you guys think that the game would have benefited if it was more kind of like open and more and had more player freedom? Or do you think that it was okay this way, more streamlined?
I think it possibly could have benefited. It felt like that they wanted to go and add more because you had this whole city, but you only had one district to explore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which felt like. I thought you were going to end up having more access to the city in the game, but you didn't. You just had the pedestrian district and then the racetracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a few glimpses of the other districts from the two Alpha headquarters that you go and sneak into and then run the heck away from.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Frank.
I was going to say, I was thinking on it. I mean, considering the timeline of it, when it was put out, you know, it's kind of blocky. It's kind of, you know, it's probably what the best they could do at the time. So I'm not going to hold to a hard rule on that. You know, it's, I think trying to, with that technology back then, maybe it was a little too ambitious to try to make it a big Grand Theft Auto kind of open world thing where it's like massive. You know, it's like not for what it was back then.
They're
insert disc two.
Yes,
they're obviously a very ambitious studio. You know, ambitious team because you know that's one word that one main word I've heard regarding Beyond Good and Evil 2 is very ambitious because just everything they're trying to put into that game. It definitely checks out to me. Go ahead, Chris.
So when I first played the game, it was kind of like, what are they trying to, what are they trying to make this game? Because it was so many genres into one game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You had a stealth game. You had a collectible game. Mm-hmm. You had a Star Fox game. Mm-hmm. You had a fighting game. You had a racing game. Mm-hmm. It was like they were trying to appease like everyone and didn't focus on one solid direction. Mm-hmm. And while it did work in some respects, I think that's why it kind of didn't do well overall too, was because it was just too over the place in the gameplay mechanics.
Yeah, I can see that.
It felt like it was trying to, I don't know what exactly came out at the time, but like some of the thing, some of like the story elements of this were reminding me of what was the one that we played. It was where they actually had the planet Stark. Dreamfall. The Longest Journey. Some of it reminded me of The Longest Journey.
Yeah.
Other aspects reminded me of like Crash Bandicoot, Ratchet and Clank. All these adventure games and stuff that had come out at the time. Spyro the Dragon, which was around at the time, had some of like the aspects of it, like racing and stuff, but they weren't really considered main parts of the game. They were more like, hey, here's a mini game over here to go and collect some like special egg. The whole entire mixture of genres makes
I would be interested to see exactly what they released in that, because like the article that I was looking at, like they had seen it and they said it reminded them of, actually like the style reminded them of Ico, which is interesting. It'd be interesting to see this game in that style.
What style reminded them of Ico?
Of the original, like, of what they saw at E3 in 2002. That's what some people who played it compared it to at the time before they changed things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that they wanted it to be open world, more open world, makes a lot more sense in like the scope of the world, because when you zoom out, you just have this like little tiny city, and it's like this whole city, this tiny little city is like the basic, it seems like they're like the only populated place on the entire planet.
Yeah.
And it's like a tiny little city and like some farms nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when we got the spaceship and I was flying around, I was like, oh, well, this is, I was kind of thinking, oh, well, there'll be new places to see. Like I can see like this land goes on for so far. There must be new places open up. But nope, you can't go any farther because they stop you from, they have those drones that are like, you are getting beyond the designated limit. So for sure. Yeah, I can definitely see that. It definitely like especially when you get into that ship and you get like higher up and you can see more of the world and the land. It's kind of disappointing when you're like, oh, none of this is accessible except the volcano.
Yeah. And then you find then you find the giant random flying manta ray.
Yes, I forgot about him.
Mm-hmm.
Or her. They. I like it.
So the other thing too is you had the those little flying snake things with wings that would screech every time you killed them.
Oh, the
I can't remember the names of them.
Is it the ones with like the flower heads that would like
shoot things at you or something like that?
Yeah.
So like I kept having flashbacks to Stargate, because I swear that screech is the same sound effect that they use for the scream that the Goa'uld worms made.
Oh, it was probably stock sound effect.
Probably. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Once you start recognizing stock sound effects and then you start hearing them in like big budget movies and games and stuff, and you're like, you couldn't hire a person.
I know.
Make a new sound effect.
So, voice actors. How did you guys feel about the overall story? Did you guys have any favorite parts, or were there parts of the story that you would want to that you wish that it would have explained better, or?
I wish the story didn't go from 0 to 60 so fast.
In the last quarter.
Yeah, in the last quarter, all of a sudden it's like, oh, Paige is kidnapped, and this is when everything hits the fan.
Yeah.
And then, what else was it? I wish they had also put in, like, little tiny things that were, like, time transition panels. Because you end up finding out that, like, oh, Paige was in, like, the pod for 3 weeks. And you're like, I haven't actually been going around for 3 weeks. I wish they had, like, been, they put, like, time cards, like, 3 weeks later or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because really, it felt like you basically did all of this in, like...
a week?
Like, there were day-night cycles, but it felt like you basically did the game in probably, like, a week or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically, there were, like, two stories. There were, like, the stories with the aliens and the story with Jade and what's going on with Jade and kind of with what's going on with Paige. And it was, like, there was just a balance issue. It's, like, it was 80% aliens and, like, at the very end, 20% real quick on Paige and Jade, you know,
what's going
on with them.
So yeah.
And I also... I felt like the moon base should have been longer. I kind of liked some of the aspects of the lunar base and the Dom stuff, which reminded me of basically, like, it felt very Half-Life. some of the aliens and how they looked, and very Zen from Half-Life 1. But I liked some of the aspects of that, and it was more puzzle-oriented, and, like, you had all those like things and stuff, and you basically have, like, this such a small area that is the actual Dom's base.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have took about half of the slaughterhouse out.
Mm-hmm.
And put more into the space.
Yeah, and drop some breadcrumbs along the way about, you know, what's going on with Jade and Paige.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, like, Paige, like, I understand because he was captured. I would have kind of liked to have seen maybe more from his perspective, you know, like, maybe, like, some little snippets from his perspective would have been cool. But it was interesting how, like, the last few seconds at the final battle. Well, after the final, no, it was right before when he's talking to Jade, and he's like, well, you know, it's revealed that she's only partly human, and like, a lot of really heavy character stuff, and I'm just like, but wait, like, I knew that was the final battle. I knew that I was at the end of the game. And I'm like, but then, you know, I found out, you know, or I read that they were meaning for that to be the beginning of a trilogy. And so I was like, well, that makes complete sense then, because then, you know, it's kind of like at the end of a trilogy book, you know, or the first book of a trilogy, you know, or first movie of the trilogy, there's always something, you know, crazy that happens to make you want to go into the second movie or to read the second book. And it was crazy, and I was like, wow, I really wish. But then again, if you're making the game to be the first part of a trilogy, it's kind of like, well, of course they expected it to do very well, and they expected it, you know, they expected a second one to be incoming. Yeah. Yeah, that was, it was a lot to process there at that final battle, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like probably not at the time. I'm not sure. Well, this would be probably a thing that Chris could answer, where I felt the story was a little bit predictable. But that might be from just playing games so much.
What did you predict, like, Jake?
Like I thought Paige was going to end up being like the head guy, like the head guy.
Oh, so
and like
I.
other
I think,
stuff.
I think
and
Paige
some other
was
stuff.
Kind of hinted at. Yeah.
Well, I think the one of the girls at the house ends up telling you about Paige going around and like looking at his shoes or something in between all of the weird alien.
I talked to her a few times. She said that he, cause Jade asks her if she's heard of Iris. Cause she's like one of the older kids there. And she says, yes, Paige talks to them sometimes. Along with his shoes, and then he moves a couple of boards, which was referring to the computer panel hidden in the bay.
Yeah, actually found the computer in the lighthouse really early on. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, you're like, I have no idea what this does. yeah, it would have been nice. So what? One thing that I found that was interesting was in reading around was that the main developer, or the director, I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, Michelle Ansel, Ansel, I don't know. It's French. Sorry. Quoted influences such as Miyazaki, which I can totally see in the, animals that are in the game in some of them. And then stuff that was happening in politics and media in the early 2000s, as well as influence of the aftermath of 9/11. Did you guys see any of this during your playthrough?
Oh. So,
I did notice,
I guess, like,
Miyazaki.
Things like stuff to do with, like, terrorism and protest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all it was... And it was very, like even though the Alpha was not the government, it they essentially almost felt like a sort of government type of stand-in. Because the actual government in the game was pretty useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, here's some codes I got for ya.
Yeah.
Give me those photos, Jade.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, just give me the code, lady.
Yeah, I would. It's true. Like, what was that lady's position? Like, what was she?
She was the governor.
She was the governor. Okay. Right. I completely forgot about that. But yeah, like, I want, like, did she not? Yeah, I don't know. Did she not, like, know anything that? Of course, I guess she knew. She was trying.
She
to
She knew
find
about
evidence.
Stuff, but like, she needed give proof to the people, lady. Which to me was like, wasn't the entire proof that you went and took photos of like people being kidnapped and stuff in the other place enough? It's like,
yeah,
we already showed that they're control, that they're literally alien controlled soldiers. Like,
yeah, it was,
come on, lady.
It was really some of that, like, I mean, if you start thinking about some of that, like that kidnapping stuff, it's really dark.
Yeah, I always have a thing for that kind of like being transformed kind of motif, where you know you're taken and you know used as basically a seed or you know something to be transformed into something else.
Yeah, I like seeing them just being like transported and but I'm just trying to think of where
and,
to go.
And like, oh, and then you also end up having the lighthouse get destroyed.
Yeah.
Yes.
The stupid kids kept turning off the shields.
You know, I actually turned them. I honestly turned them back on when I left.
Like, I kept turning them back on, but the stupid kids kept turning off the shields.
I hadn't checked the shields the entire game until that one time right before I left, before the lighthouse was destroyed. And I was like, oh, the shields are down. Let me put up the shields. And then I left. And then all hell broke loose. I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it showed you at the beginning because you had to turn the shield on.
But after that, I figured, okay, we're done with that.
I thought they would stay on. I thought they would be on forever. But, yeah, I guess the kids did not like them at all. Yeah. So, we're obviously eventually getting a prequel. Even though it's been in development for like 10 years, God bless them. But
I ended up doing some reading into some of the stuff where there was a giant post on like the forums for Beyond Good and Evil 2 about what we know about it and how Beyond Good and Evil 2 originally wasn't supposed to be a prequel. It just kind of ended up turning into that. Yes,
correct.
And they're going to be actually making a third one, a Beyond Good and Evil 3 eventually.
Yeah. Which they've said that they don't plan to remake this game, Beyond Good and Evil, but they plan to work around it.
I would at least appreciate the HD port coming to the PC, but
that'd be nice. That'd be nice. So what are you guys hoping? What are your hopes for a prequel? Did this game get you psyched for the upcoming sometime prequel?
I think that there's a lot of interesting lore in the universe, like all the human animal hybrids. And some of the stuff that's been said about like what they're supposed to be, as well as like the DOMs themselves are pretty interesting. And Jade's origins. It's unfortunate that like all that development and stuff came so much later in, like they had like a little bit of sprinkling in the beginning and then you had to go through the entire annoying slaughterhouse section, which probably was the majority of my playthrough time.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you get all the story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't you guys like spread this out a little bit more, or just put some more in the slaughterhouse instead of just giving me like the same setup thing two times? Because at one point they ended up actually having the same exact like setup for like a thing, because there was like a guy standing out on a pedestal, just standing there like on the outside and like standing in the middle section. And then they did that, and then you go through another area, and then you see the guy in pretty much the same exact spot again. I'm like,
I knew, I mean, this is my first playthrough, so I knew about the game before this. But yeah, it's like, I saw a trailer last year, what they showed at E3 last year, I think. I saw it online, and it looks amazing.
I still need to watch the gameplay video, but I watched the two different trailers. Because there's the one where they just go and end up meeting the other pig guy, and the monkey guy goes and pisses him off. And then there's the other one where they actually show all the ship and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they run into Jade at the end. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I'm really happy that they are able to do what they originally wanted to do with this game. Well, kind of, in a way. Although in 2019 standards of making it open world and to give the player a lot of freedom, which seems like what they're trying to do.
And character creation.
Yes, character creation as well. Also, you know, throwing in things that, you know, for people who like this game, but then also for newer players, which is what they wanted. I'm excited. And I hadn't seen the trailer I watched today, which is the one where it showed Paige and it also showed Jade at the end. Because at first they were calling a girl flyer it was in one of the airplanes. They were calling her Shawnee, and I was like, oh no, because that's the code name that Jade uses the entire game. Different. And I was like, oh no. I was like, did they really change her whole look that much? Because it's a completely different ethnicity, which is fine. But I was like, I thought that she was kind of an interesting character the way that she was. But then it revealed her at the end as being possibly evil looking. So that's exciting.
I'm a little bit sad though that we can't, I did like the voice actress, but we can't actually have her reprise her role for the character, unfortunately.
Why?
Because she passed away a year or two ago.
That's unfortunate.
She was in actually a couple of other games that I've played, not really in major roles, but mm-hmm.
I guess the one thing that I'm sad of is I'm sad that the soldier won't be in the prequel. I mean,
Double H?
What?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's entirely possible for him to be there in some sense.
Entirely possible. I like him.
Carlson, maybe she meets Carlson and Peters.
Although he did
the army
keep scaring the crap out of me because he would suddenly come up at, or it was when you were in the slaughterhouse and he would meet up with you. He'd be I'll find another way in. And then all of a sudden I'll turn a corner and he's running toward me. I'm like, oh God, it's a soldier. it's a bad guy. And then oh no, it's just a voyage.
Mrs. Thyrus? Miss Thyrus.
Yeah.
It's funny. My best Double H part was when you had to go run race 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And when you win race 4, he's like, oh, Miss Peters, oh, Jade, you're wonderful. And you hear a big smack.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, Double H getting a little.
Yeah, he was great to have during those races. He was very motivational.
I wish I knew why he was called Double H.
It's probably first and last name began with H.
Who knows? Who knows?
I just kept thinking of the wrestler Triple H, even though they look nothing alike.
He's Triple H minus one.
Did you guys stay after the credits to watch the after credits scene?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's not really. I mean, it's Paige kind of seeing a weird growth on his hand.
He's becoming an alien. Probably, they need to give him the serum.
Probably because Jade brought him back to life.
Because of the fact that he was in the pod for 3 weeks. Yeah.
Well, that too. But also Jade brought him back to life. So.
Yeah.
And she's a half human. Which is so, I'm just so fascinated. I'm so fascinated. I'm just will I ever get answers? I don't know. Maybe in the prequel. Who knows? Yeah. But we're definitely not going to see what happens to Paige in the prequel because that's.
Well, wherever it is, apparently Double H's first name is Herbert.
Oh, I like him even better now.
Or Hubbard.
That's adorable.
Alias Double H, Triple Z, whatever, please.
So is there anything else that we did not cover that you guys feel like we need to talk about? Or Beyond Good and Evil? Okay, all right. Well, guys, we are ready for our final thoughts and our scoring. So let me just get this ready here. actually, you know, while I'm getting this ready, I'll go ahead and start with Madeline left me a review, since she couldn't be here because of game night tonight. She gave it a 7 out of 10. She said, while time has not been completely kind because she's had a lot going on lately, the game still plays. That's not talking about her time. It's talking about, like, the graphics and stuff, I guess. While time has not been completely kind, the game still plays fairly well and introduces a fascinating world. Looking forward to the sequel, she says, which, I mean, it's a prequel, but, you know, apples to
numbers.
Apples. Numbers, you know, math. All right, so, at the top, Frank.
Okay, yeah, looking back now, trying to, like Madeline said, trying to adjust for the time period. I think what I like agree with Chris had said earlier, that it's probably just tried to do too much. It was all over the place with some things, with, you know, racing and, you know, all the aspects of what they were trying to fit into the game, with mini games and stuff like that. So, but yeah, the controls scheme and how to actually move your character around was kind of clunky. I would guess back then probably the best way to play this game was on the PlayStation 2 with a with an established controller, and you know. But with all that in mind, and maybe a little balance issue with the two stories and the percentage of time you spent doing things. I enjoyed it. I mean, for the most part. So I give it a 7.5.
All right. Kevin?
The game was interesting and had a really good world. It definitely was a console game because keyboard and mouse for this game is just horrible. It would make a lot more sense with the controller. Tried a lot, like Frank, it tried to do too much, like Frank said, and the stealth elements just didn't end up feeling good in its, implementation and such. I still enjoyed it. I liked the story and the world. There were a lot of interesting creatures and, especially the final last bit of the game was one of my favorite parts. So I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. So trying to think where I should begin. When I started, or when I first played the game, was probably one of my more favorite games that I played. A kind of mini Calavera Glottis kind of team up revolution freedom fighter type of story there, and you know, just really got drawn into the game. Didn't really like the stealth aspects because my anxiety was just pegged the entire time I was playing those levels. The funny thing is though, it's like I'm watching the playthrough and it's like I don't remember half of this stuff. But, you know, it still brought back a lot of memories. I wish I had time to sit down and play it, but it was just, there was just too much going on this month for me to have time to sit down and actually do it. I still do have my original PS2 copy. Ooh. When I first bought it.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, back then when I first played it, I probably would have given it a 9 or something, like maybe a 9 or 10. But I think over time, it's kind of dwindled a bit. And it, I would probably at this point in time give it about an 8. Would have given it a 7.5, but there was at least one dog.
A very nice dog.
You know, yes, very nice dog, very pleasant dog. So, yes. So yeah.
All right. This game was very, like, even though I didn't play it at the time of release, it was very nostalgic for me in the type of game that it was. It gave me some, like, Tomb Raider vibes. It gave me some, like, adventure game, vibes from, you know, from back in that day. You know, with the, like, the clunky hovercraft racing reminded me of, like, other PlayStation racing games I played back on the PS1, the PS2. So, like, even though it had a lot of elements, it ticked a lot of, like, my 2003 boxes, as it were. Now, my 2019 self sees definite flaws in it, you know, with the story. And I think reading back about the problems that they had with development and having to change some things and not really getting the vision, you know, being able to produce the vision that they originally had for this game, makes me a little more kinder to it. But like the story is definitely like, if it was rushed towards the end, which if it was going to be part of a trilogy, I can completely understand that. You know, they were of course expecting the best for their game and expecting for it to sell. And, it didn't, unfortunately. The characters were really interesting. I just wish I knew more about them. I wish I saw more of them. You know, playing the game makes me excited for this, for the prequel that's coming up. Like, it had some great elements, but then also, like, the cameras, that floating camera thing that just, like, made me die so many times. And just trying to fit, like, I liked the stealth, like, it did feel very 2003 to me, like early 2000s, but at the same time I was like, okay, this is like another thing in this game that they're trying to make me do. And then plus playing on the keyboard and the mouse, having to hold down that control button while sneaking around was the worst. Oh my gosh. Like, I think I have like 20 extra muscles in my pinky from that. It was rough, guys. It was rough. I'm now in a cast. Just kidding. So I'm going to go, I think I'll go with the mass on this and agree with you guys. I think I'll go, oh man. I think I'm going to go with a 7.5. I think 7.5 feels good to me. But overall, like, I enjoyed the game. I think if I had, like, if I wasn't rushed for time with it because of my own folly, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. And if I was able to kind of take my time with it. But it was quite the ride. So, thanks, guys, for chatting with me this week about this game. I will compile the scores. Chris will get the recording up. For next week, we are... Oh, yeah, April the 2nd, which is next Tuesday, guys, if you didn't know. That's our Dragon Age Origins chat. Now, if you look... Now, we currently had that set aside for everybody's gone to the Rapture. We were going to do a two-weeker on that game, but it's a little more open world than what I realized. So we're actually giving people that are not playing Origins, the Origins people should have the game beat. I don't yet. We're giving you a couple of weeks to play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. So April the 2nd, we're having our special chat, which is Dragon Age Origins, that some of us have been playing for like the past 3 to 4 months. And then April the 9th, we're talking about Everybody's Gone to the Rapture as a whole, which is like a 5 to 6 hour game. But again, for those of you not in the Origins chat, you have a couple of weeks to play it. And then our month chat for April, so you can get started on it, although it's not until May the 7th, is Okami HD, which I'm really excited about. But you might want to get started on it because I think there's some time into that one.
Yeah. I played it. It's a pretty long game.
Really?
If it gets to the, I mean, I'll check in with everyone like a week before. If it gets to like everyone's, heck no, it's not happening. We can push that out to a special chat later, but we'll try by May the 7th to get that done. Anyways,
approximately 35 hours.
No, it's a piece of cake, guys.
Oh my lord.
A freaking cake.
Oh. Main plus extra 42 and a half.
So, guys, again, thank you. And you can find us at thegamechat.net. Recordings are at Google Play. They're at Stitcher. They are at iTunes. We're also on Facebook. We're on Discord. We're on Twitter at @the_game_chat, where I try to stay active on sometimes. Yeah, so until next week, guys, I'll chat at you later. Bye.
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 Bye.